How would you like to upgrade your brain? It might sound like science fiction, but there are actual hacks you can use to do so. You can learn all about them in the new book, Brain Hacker: Master Memory, Focus, Emotions, and More to Unleash the Genius Within by Dave Farrow. Dave holds Guinness records for his memory feats and is the host of the YouTube and podcast series, The Brains Behind It. Here he is to share five big ideas from his book.
Hi, my name is Dave Farrow, two-time Guinness World Record holder for memory, speaker, and business founder. It may surprise you, though, that I was diagnosed with ADHD and dyslexia as a kid and actually had a terrible memory. In my book, Brain Hacker, I show how I took these lemons and made brainy lemonade by understanding how the brain works in a real and practical way that can be used in the real world. Our attributes like intelligence, memory, focus, academic prowess, grit, and other mental traits just the result of our genetics, or can we do something about it? Well, I show that we can change our brain. In fact, we're doing it all the time, and there are brain hacks that do things like triple memory, focus, speed reading, of course, but there's also hacks that can improve your sleep, control your hunger cravings, and even help make you happy, and yes, even forget the past. I'm a memory expert that helps people forget. Here are five insights from my book, Brain Hacker. Insight number one, the brain follows the body. So things like movement and posture actually affect our brain more than we can possibly imagine. So posture, for example, is a fun one. If you took a moment right now and just stood up, and let's say you held your shoulders back in a very confident way, held your chin up, breathe deeply through your stomach and looked forward as if you were confident and had lots of self-esteem and you knew exactly what you're doing. The interesting thing is you would be confident and have lots of self-esteem and you would at least feel like you know exactly what you're doing in that moment. This is why actors are so good at fooling us, because they're able to do this on a whim. Now, what's actually going on is your brain associates all the movements of your body to everything else that's going on. So if you're depressed, well, you know, your body matches that, doesn't it? You look down, you slump your shoulders, you breathe shallow. So one of the quickest ways to change your mood is actually to change your posture. Another example of this is your eyes. Yes, literally the direction you point your eyes affects your brain. It is the window to the soul, perhaps. Did you know that when you're trying to recall something, your natural state is to look up, right? Have you ever had somebody ask you for directions and your eyes kind of roll into the back of your head and you look up in the sky and you go, oh, let me think, it's down the street to the right. Well, what are you doing right there? Well, in that moment, you're accessing a larger part of your brain. According to functional MRI machines, fMRIs, we know that we're actually able to access more of our cerebral cortex and our memory when we look up. The interesting thing is we don't know why this is, but it seems as though the brain responds to the direction we point our eyes. Isn't that fascinating? Insight number two is the other direction. The body also follows the brain. So people can visualize things and it affects how your brain perceives the world. There's all sorts of, you know, great examples of this. Now, one example that I used to do in my workshops is I would have, you know, let's say about 100 people in the room, and I would get them to all stand up and put their feet very close together. So their toes and their heels were touching. And then I would get them to close their eyes and go through a visualization exercise where they imagine themselves on top of a building. And then slowly, very gently, they would start to walk right to the edge of the building. And I would imply that they're going to either jump off or fly off or something like that. But the fascinating thing was in that moment when they were at the edge of the building in their mind's eye, so many people lost their balance. We had people fall over or leaning and rocking back and forth. And the simple fact is we knew logically that everybody was standing squarely on the ground. But your brain is not logical in that sense. Whatever you visualize on some level, your brain thinks it's really happening. And to use this, there's actually a really great hack to deal with pain. Now, I've actually dealt with chronic pain for most of my life. I had to walk using a cane when I was a teenager, for example. And this technique is what really saved me in a lot of those tough times. And now I'm in great shape. I'm very healthy. I'm pain-free, just in case you were curious, and I'm living my best life. But let's help some other people get there. So one of the ways you can block out pain is to actually visualize it and then visualize it going away. So let's say, for example, just generically, you had a headache and you had pain in your head. What you want to do is visualize your head, visualize your brain, visualize all the blood flowing, everything that you can, and then find some way to visualize the pain. I used to visualize it like a cloud of red dust, or, you know, some sort of storm cloud was the way I like to visualize it. And what I would do is I would imagine the wind blowing at that cloud. And it would take a few minutes, but slowly and surely I could blow that pain away. And just as the visualization started to push that pain away, I felt the pain literally go away. And I was able to block out pain for hours, for days sometimes, just by using the power of my mind. This brings us to insight number three, the power of visualization. Now, I talked about visualization in the last insight, but it's really a lot more powerful than people think. And the reason is that on some level, your brain thinks everything that you visualize, and when I say visualize, I mean more than just your visual sense. Everything you imagine hearing, imagine smelling, essentially, is also under the category of visualization. Anything you construct in your mind's eye, on some level, your brain thinks that's actually happened. And the reason is because it goes through the same pathways that real information goes through. When you visualize information, the same parts of the brain light up, even parts of your optic nerve can light up. These are the nerves that are behind your eyeballs when you visualize things. And for the longest time, people thought that the only thing that could happen to those optic nerves is if we actually see something. Well, we found out that it goes in the other direction. When you visualize something, your brain thinks it's actually real on some level. So how can we use this? Well, one powerful brain hack I talk about in the book is called the disgust hack. This is a hack to get you to stop thinking about or craving a specific type of food. I used to have a tremendous obsession with Wendy's Frosties. I used to have one, at least one every day. I was getting incredibly overweight. I was getting stressed out. And they're delicious. They're great. Nothing against a Frosty every once in a while, but on the level I was having, it was too much. So I had to find a hack to get rid of it from my brain. And what I decided to do was visualize every day for a week, visualize a couple times a day, eating a Wendy's Frosty in some sort of disgusting way. So I would imagine that there's hair in the Wendy's Frosty, or I'd imagine that there's bugs crawling around it or something like that. And lo and behold, I didn't even need that whole week to visualize it. Pretty soon, I was disgusted by the idea of this food. And to this day, I haven't even had a Wendy's Frosty ever since I did that, and it's going on like 7 years ago. So it's really, really powerful. I warn you, do not do that hack unless you really don't want to eat that food anymore. And I'll also say it doesn't affect nearby foods. I can still eat ice cream. I can still eat milkshakes. But that one thing that I associated to so much pleasure, you can change your brain and make it disgusting. And it works. Insight number four is that the brain is a comparison machine. So what do I mean by this? Well, your brain is constantly comparing everything you experience to everything else you experience. So one of the interesting ways that people use this is in speed reading. You might not realize that speed is a relative concept. If you've ever been driving on the highway and you're driving at, you know, who knows how fast, and then you pull off onto a side street that maybe is a reduced speed, maybe because it's a school area or a hospital or something, and all of a sudden you feel like you're just crawling along. You look at the speedometer and you're actually going at a reasonable pace, but it's very slow compared to how fast you were driving before. In fact, this same principle is what batters use in baseball when they try to swing a heavy bat or a bat with a weight on the end of it just before they get up to plate to hit the ball. For some reason, they figured out this trick a long time ago, and what it does is it tricks the body into putting out more effort into that swing because the brain thinks it's going to have to swing that big, heavy weight. Once you switch bats, your brain is still comparing it to that old weight, that old heavy bat, and when you swing with a regular bat, you get like 30-40% more power. It's really cool. So how can we use this? Well, also understand that most of your emotions, especially your extreme emotions, often they go crazy because we are comparing ourselves to other people and other expectations and other situations. The Stoics from ancient times, they believed it was really important to stop comparing our experiences to every other experience, especially in today's day and age of social media where everything online looks like everyone's having such a great day. That just can't be true, right? So what I believe is that we should actually accept the good with the bad. We realize that there's like 50% of good, 50% of bad, and both of those come in equal measure to just about everybody in life. And this understanding can really calm your emotions down. And this is not academic, actually. This happens all the time in group therapy. If you're in a group where you've experienced something that everyone else in the group has experienced, universally, people go into these group therapies feeling very extreme emotions. But once they encounter other people who have had the same experience, they realize that their experience isn't unique. They're not special in a bad way. You know, the life, fate doesn't hate them. Life is not against them. They had an experience that other people had, albeit terrible, but knowing that there's other people who have had that experience and that it's more common actually lowers our stress and helps us relax. So think about that. And my final insight is to live life on purpose. One of my greatest quotes from the amazing philosopher Dolly Parton, and yes, I think she's a philosopher, is to find out who you are and to do it on purpose. And I firmly believe that. In fact, my book Brain Hacker really revolves around that concept because society needs to believe that we can change. A lot of people grow up thinking that change is impossible, but when I was growing up, there were two schools of thought when it came to the brain. There was the brain plasticity school of thought and the hardwired model. Now, at the time, most people didn't believe in brain plasticity. Most scientists thought it was very fringe. If anything, it was pseudoscience. The idea that the brain could change itself over time was just not accepted. It was the consensus in the scientific community was that your brain is hardwired after a certain age, let's say 12 or 13 around puberty, and it's pretty much going to be that way for the rest of your life. Now, this belief, and I call it a belief because it wasn't really based on good science, it was essentially responsible for some terrible public policies. There's something called the three strikes rule that came about during the Clinton administration based entirely on this hardwired brain model, where if you committed three crimes of a certain extent, they basically lock you up and throw away the key. Things like this, as well as mandatory minimums, were based entirely on the consensus science at the time, and it was dead wrong. It's led to our mass incarceration and overpopulation in prisons today. And take this to the education system that believed in the hardwired model failed for thousands and thousands of kids until they finally realized that you can believe in change. And when you create a society that believes in change, that believes in redemption, oh, the results are absolutely amazing. We have people who, you know, come back from war after a brain injury, and with training, they can, you know, change their brain and regrow new systems that have failed. We have systems for people who have experienced stroke, where in the past, the treatment would be very basic. Now there's recovery treatments. There's all sorts of amazing things that have happened in those extreme examples, but also in our everyday life. You know, understand that you cannot help but change your brain every day. You are not too old. You are not too set in your ways. And you're also not too smart to learn something new or challenge your current beliefs. So I encourage you to pick my book, Brain Hacker, and find out the different ways that you can hack your brain and really get the life that you want, because you don't have to be stuck with what you believe you were born with. Your brain can change and you can be in charge of it. Thanks very much for enjoying these brain hacks, and I hope you enjoy the book, Brain Hacker.
Thank you, Dave. That was Dave Farrow with five big ideas from Brain Hacker: Master Memory, Focus, Emotions, and More to Unleash the Genius Within. You might also like our book bite for Smarter Tomorrow: How 15 minutes of neurohacking a day can help you work better, think faster, and get more done, by Elizabeth Ricker. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.